Hello and welcome to Center for Victory's podcast of your best day yet. At Center for Victory, we're here to unlock, reinforce, and enrich relationships through personal professional development. I'm Eric Guy, Chief Victory Officer here at the Center for Victory. Today, we have a very special guest, Dr. Gayla Gorman, licensed naturopath, acupuncturist, and author of the recent book that just came out that hopefully we'll get a little bit of time to talk about today. Doc is What's Your Kryptonite? So welcome to the show. Glad to have you. I'm excited
Thanks
to talk to you.
Thanks for having me, Eric. I'm looking forward to our discussion.
Okay. So I am, you know, if you watch our show, right, and you know anything that I do, big advocate of learning stress, how it affects our behavior, our mind, our bodies, our relationships. So I am going to have a hard time focusing on just one thing, but I'm really going to do it. And we're probably just going to bring you back because I think you have a lot of great things to offer. But if we could just really try to hone in on, especially since we're entering into the holidays, you know, the holidays are extremely stressful for people for many different ways. I know for me, it's tends to be actually a little bit more work on the business side, not so much the personal side. Just because everybody's trying to get things in. A lot of people are trying to look, you know, what's next year going to bring, this, that, the other. But for a lot of people, you know, the holidays really tend to be stressful. And I think we're living also in an environment that is extremely stressful with our works, our home lives, trying to juggle everything. But I was hoping that you could kind of, one, just first, tell the people who you are, and then we'll get into the topic of how to manage those toxic stressors in our life. So first, could just go into an introduction of more of who you are and what you do.
So as you said, I'm Dr. Gayla Gorman, and I'm a licensed acupuncturist and naturopath, and I'm excited to talk to you a little bit more about what I shared in my book. So I encourage readers to become their own PCP, that's primary care person. So I think that is apropos, considering what you'd like me to focus on here, because the way I describe it is once your mom said, like, hey, I'm done, like, you know, you are capable now of feeding yourself, making sure you have clean clothes on, you know, get to bed at a decent hour. Like, I'm taking a back seat now. That primary care person role falls 100% to you. And so when we're talking about just going into the holidays, we tend to have a lot of pressures put on us by family, having certain expectations, and even ourselves maybe to hold up traditions that that either we want to keep the tradition going and other people aren't so keen on it, or vice versa. And so it can cause a lot of relational stress. And we have this expectation of spending time with family that we may not spend a lot of time with family outside of the holidays. And just the anticipation of that can really create some stress. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, thinking, future thinking about what it's going to be like can cause stress. So I wrote the book. I had been working on the book for several years, and then I lost my sister to cancer a couple of years ago, and she was a superwoman in her world, single mom, had a thriving business that she ran on her own. And so when I lost her, I just felt like the information in this book needed to get out there. I couldn't drag my feet on it any longer. And so I got that done, and just have been talking to whoever will listen about the effects of stress. And, you know, stress has, in studies, it's been said that over 90% of disease can be tied directly to stress. And I think that number is actually higher because I don't think they really include all the sources of toxicity. So, so you can see, you know, stress is life-threatening.
Yeah. And I believe that, you know, wholeheartedly, that's in a lot of the things that, that we teach either on a personal level or, you know, on a business level. As far as, you know, what you see. So you said acupuncturist, like, are you poking people with needles all day long? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah. So it's interesting because I rarely stick a needle in someone. Acupuncturists typically have a degree in oriental medicine. Some acupuncturists have just a degree in acupuncture, but my degree is in oriental medicine. And so we use a lot of techniques that go beyond acupuncture. And so I can work with people that don't necessarily come into my clinic because I don't need to stick a needle in them, which is fantastic, right? So, so yeah, the acupuncture is a fantastic tool, but a lot of people are really sensitive to the needles. They're needle phobic. and so if that's the case for you, then maybe you're not getting treatment that might really help you to sort of work with your body's natural functioning energy system that makes it much easier for you to handle some of these additional stressors that come in during periods like this, like, you know, the holidays.
So, what's some, like, I know you see a lot. Okay. And I know I'm asking you to narrow some things down, but like, if you could like narrow it down to like, what are some of the top stressors, you see, like with your clients and people that come to you, what are you helping them with?
Yeah. So the low hanging fruit is improving your diet. You know, there are a lot of stressors that I will use my biofield scanning system to kind of narrow things down to be more specific. But generally speaking, most of the people that I work with do way better when they eliminate dairy, way better when they eat less grains. And, you know, there's a number of other sort of contributing factors. You know, if you're a big sugar eater, and I'm not even just saying, you know, sugar as we think of sugar, but just sweetened things, then, you know, less sugar obviously, is better for us. And so, so there are some things you can do that just by improving your diet that will, go a long way to reducing your body's internal, stress that it's dealing with. And then when some of these outside stressors show up, your body has more resources to work with. So, so the diet is, always something we address. And I kind of have to refer to it as a diet because that's the way people think of it, but I don't think of it as a diet. You know, we're never counting calories. We're never like eliminating things completely. You know, we're never eliminating entire food groups, essentially, that a lot of diets will focus on. So it's a diet, but it's really more of a lifestyle adjustment for how you're fueling your body, essentially. So that's the lowest hanging fruit typically. And no amount of meditation is going to offset the stress caused by a really poor diet. So that's, you know, the ground level. And then, you know, depending on what somebody has going on in their life, whether they have a really stressful job, although I will say that a lot of people don't recognize how much stress they're dealing with. You know, they may have a pretty stressful job, but they just have become so accustomed to dealing with it that they don't even really think of it as really stressful. Like the only time it feels stressful is when it goes from a 7 to an 11 on a scale of 1 to 10, right? They don't even think about the fact that they're constantly living in a level stress, a level 7 stressful environment. And and so that can be the case in a lot of different circumstances. But then what I find, you know, my peeps tend to have some sort of toxic buildup that you got to have some help getting to the bottom of, whether that's heavy metal toxicity, chemical toxicity, you know, viral toxicity. There's all sorts of mycotoxins, which tends to be mold. You know, you can't see these toxins, but they're in our world. And our body pretty much deals with it until it can't any longer. And how do you know it can't any longer? Because you're seeing symptoms.
Okay, let's unpack some of this if we can. All right, you said the low-hanging fruit is definitely diet. I like how you said lifestyle adjustment. I have my opinions on this just because I went through it. I got to go through it and experience it, know how impactful it can be, literally change my life, life changing. And I'm, you know, almost 50 pounds lighter for it too. It just it took some weight off, but,
that's what I find with my patients. Patients come to me and they don't come to me to lose weight. They come to me to resolve some symptom, and it typically is not weight that, cause I don't, bill myself as a weight loss doctor, but they all lose weight as a byproduct and they're really pleasantly surprised, but they didn't even try to lose weight. So, so that just shows you how much toxicity contributes to our body's inability to regulate weight.
Yeah. I mean, the sugar thing was like huge for me. I mean, I stopped that and within a couple weeks, I mean, there were some other things that I was doing, you know, cause I did stop the grains, it's lactose intolerant. I mean,
yeah,
when you stop all those things, you like, wow, man, I feel 10 times better. But prior to that, so it's been almost 10 years now.
Okay.
And I had to shut down everything I was doing in the company. I stopped lecturing. I stopped traveling. You know, I was traveling probably 3 or 4 days out of the week, lecturing, things like that. And I had to stop that. And that did not make anybody happy because I had all those things scheduled out. But I was getting diagnosed, you know, they were throwing, you know, some severe diagnoses out there that were really scary. Like really scary. And they didn't know, you know, I was fortunate to get into Cleveland Clinic really quick, but all that came back as healthy. And I was in pain. I was in so much pain. I mean, my elbows hurt, my knees hurt, my hands were swollen. I joke that my wedding ring, it won't hardly stay on anymore. I couldn't even get it on. Before, my fingers were just so fat and inflamed. How important is that to be conscious of how much sugar we're putting in our bodies? Because I see it as such a detriment to our culture.
Yeah, it's interesting, I think, because people, I tell people they have to drink more water typically. That is one thing that people are typically not drinking enough water, not enough quality water. You know, when I explain to them that it isn't just the water, it's also the quality water that really typically starts with an eye roll. but our body is an big electrical board. And water is one of the things that helps to keep the spark alive. And so your body just does not run on being dehydrated. So so water is essential as well. But the sugar thing, people will tell me that they don't like things. They'll go to an alternative sweetener when they get off the sugar. And I tell them I would rather have them use full strength, high quality, like raw sugar, and sweeten it to your taste rather than use the chemical artificial sweeteners. They're way worse than the real thing. And then
you're talking about the blue and pink death, right?
Exactly. Yeah. But even some of the natural alternative sweeteners, I want you to avoid those as well. Yeah. What I really want and what your nervous system needs is to get off the, you're addicted to the, you know, rush from sugar. They've actually, you know, shown in research that sugar has the same effect in our body as cocaine. So like it just, sugar is a drug 100%. And so to be able to wean yourself off of the sugar, like I personally don't like things really sweet. Like if something's too sweet, I'm like, ugh, that doesn't taste good to me. If I drink iced tea, I drink it with no sweetener at all. And for me, that is like, if I go to a restaurant and they accidentally put a little sweetener in my tea, like give me a little sweet tea or something, like think if you're a server and you're like, oh yeah, they start putting in sweet tea, and I'm in the South. Okay. So sweet tea's totally common thing here. So they start putting sweet tea in your glass, and then they're like, oh yeah, she said she wanted unsweet tea. So maybe there's just a tiny little bit of sweet tea in the bottom and they fill the rest with iced tea. And I will taste that and I'm like, ooh, there's sweet in here. And I mean, it just takes a fraction of an amount and I can taste it. And so the goal essentially is to just get accustomed to using real ingredients and then wean yourself off of it to the point where it just doesn't even taste good. You know, like you just don't need it. And since sugar is a drug, you need to be prepared to deal with the, you know, withdrawal symptoms and essentially, you know, your brain's going to be in a funk potentially. And so, I have a little program that I created called Manufacturing Happiness. And, in the different modules, depending on the brain chemical we're trying to kickstart. You know, there are some just things that you can do to generate those brain chemicals that don't require something like sugar to make it happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it was very powerful once I got on with that. I mean, one of the things that I noticed, I don't know if you noticed this with the, you know, with your people that, you know, you're helping out, but I mean, I didn't even realize at first how much sugar were in things that I didn't even think had sugar in them. I mean, yeah, I was a junkie for ketchup.
Mm.
And then you look at the back of the bottle and it's like, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And I don't have it at all anymore. But I mean, you know, I still think it tastes good, but like I didn't even realize it. I remember the day that I went, you know, somebody told me that, and I'm like, that can't be that much. Like it's good for you. It's got like, you know, it's made from tomatoes.
Do right? you listen to the New Heights podcast ever? With the Kelsey brothers? So they're hilarious and their diet just is horrible for like professional athletes. You'd think they would do way better.
Yeah.
They were having a discussion about ketchup on like a recent episode and basically saying that high fructose corn syrup was supposed to be like the first ingredient. Like it's not good if you know, it's not high fructose corn syrup. And I just thought like, you know, I thought people knew better than that. And so, the first thing you do, I have people that'll send me a message and they say, you know, this is what's going on right now. And I say, well, you told me that you were eating this or consuming this. Like people will use a protein shake as a meal replacement or something. And I'll say, you know, you told me that you're using this protein powder and, you know, have you read the label, you know, what's in it? what's in the stuff. And so I typically don't hear back because they don't want to come back and say, oh yeah, I should have read the label first before I spent $50 on that can of protein powder.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean that, you know, it's just being aware of it. I found that that helps people too. You know, the other thing that you said, and I want to kind of hit on the three, so and we can hit them again when you come back if you want to, but the one thing that stuck out to me about the second one that you said, job, and I believe wholeheartedly what you said, and I don't know if you want to elaborate on it at all, but the fact that people become accustomed to that stress and they don't think it's stress anymore, even though, you know, there's outward and inward signs, until it, I think you said when it goes from a 7 to 11, but I'm already a 7. How often does that happen? And like, what advice do you have for us to be like more mindful of that occurrence?
So, that's a tough one. I worked in the business world myself, and I know that, especially when you're working with a group of people that has like a certain performance level expectation, that's easy to get caught up in that, right? And just sort of drink the Kool-Aid, and this is what you do to be part of this team, essentially. And so, so that's a hard one. Everybody's got to really make their own way through that. But one of the best things you can do is ease into your day. And you need that half an hour. I usually say it's a half an hour, honestly, because I have control over my own schedule now. I typically have more like an hour to 2 hours in the morning that I control and allows me to gently ease into my day, but you need at least a half an hour. And if you are jumping out of bed after hitting the snooze button twice, and the first stop is the coffee maker, because you can't imagine getting going without a cup of coffee, that little routine has got to change. And you need to find a way to wake yourself up gently. And this first half hour is not the half hour you drink a cup of coffee. This first half hour is the half hour that you sit and meditate, that you journal, that, you know, if you, what the way I describe it is, if you're one of those people that can kind of like take or leave coffee, and you drink one cup, and you're not dependent on it, you know, you're not drinking coffee all day long, then if you want to sit and journal in the morning and sip on a cup of coffee, it's probably not going to hurt you much. But if you're one of those people that, you know, you can't imagine starting your day without a cup of coffee, and that leads to basically drinking coffee all the way through to 3 o'clock in the afternoon or later, then this half hour is not that. Is not a coffee half hour. And I would encourage you to really do your best to start weaning back off the caffeine, because that too is frying your adrenals. And for the females in your audience, you're going to need those adrenals to be in decent shape when you get to menopause. And your adrenals are going to need to take over from some of the other hormones that were kind of keeping things in check before that point in time. And so when we enter menopause with adrenal fatigue, that's when everything starts to go sideways.
That was good advice. That was very good advice on that one. Thank you for that one. And then the last one, that toxic buildup, and I'm sure you could really unpack it, but just kind of general, I don't think many people are aware of it. How can we just like take this first step today talking about it? What do we need to be aware of there? What is it? Like, I don't even know if some people would know what it is.
So I believe I already mentioned, right, different types of toxicity, right, like heavy metals and chemical and bacterial and mold, which is part of the mycotoxin family. I evaluate 12 categories of toxicity using my biofield scan. And so what I will tell your audience is that symptoms are clues. And so our whole healthcare system is conditioned to point their finger at a symptom and find something to whack it down with. And we play whack-a-mole with symptoms. And, you know, if you whack that one symptom, something else is going to pop up. And the reason why that happens is because that symptom was a sign, a beacon call out from your body that it was overloaded and it could no longer handle it. All this toxic buildup, your body is managing until you start seeing symptoms. When you start seeing symptoms, that's the sign that your body can't handle it anymore. So when we see a symptom and we take something to squash it, all we've done is push toxicity deeper into our body and, you know, kick the can down the road. Mm-hmm. And that can is getting dirtier and more beat up along the way. And at a certain point, you're going to end up with something there trying to, you know, a label they're trying to put on you like fibromyalgia. And what I will just say with that is that the way I describe it is I say, thank goodness they did not give you some crazy disease diagnosis. Because had you gotten a crazy disease diagnosis, then you would have also had some crazy toxic treatment that went along with it. Mm-hmm. If you can catch this before you get the crazy disease diagnosis, then there's all sorts of natural things you can do to pull the toxicity out of your body. Your body is an incredible self-healing machine. And you can pretty much right any wrong if you have enough on ramp to do that. So
I'm fascinated by one of the things that you do and said earlier. I don't know if everybody caught that, but you work with a lot of people online on these things, correct?
Yeah.
I mean, are these things you can unpack online? This, you know, even just those three things, you know, looking at the diet, the job, the toxic buildup, all those, that, those are things that people can actually come to you to get help with?
Yeah. So it's interesting if you think about it. When you go to see any doctor, with the exception of like, if they have to operate, truly, like if my arm is broken, right, I need to go get somebody to set that arm and immobilize it for a period of time while it's healing, right? I'm also going to do a lot of things to support my body so that it heals faster and better, right? But most of the work is mine to do at home, right? So I can extract the information I need from you in a lot of different ways and put the picture together so that we can design a protocol. I ship it to you and you follow the protocol. I even have some things that I use with people where they treat themselves at home. I use microcurrent and we have ways to be able to allow you to be able to treat yourself at home. And so, it's totally possible and way more efficient. You know, one of the huge barriers for people is, you know, I don't have time to go to the doctor and to wait for drive there, wait for the appointment, get treated, have to drive back. You know, basically who has time to take a half a day out of their life to go get a treatment? And if you're coming to somebody like me, in order for me to have any effect in my clinic, I'd have to treat you two or three times a week for the effects to accumulate. And so who has time to come see me two or three times a week for several weeks?
I think that's fascinating that you're, you can do that and have that impact. So I appreciate that. Hopefully folks will reach out to you. I'm definitely intrigued, but I'm probably be talking to you again anyhow. So one last thing before I let you go today, because I think this will be a tickler for people to come back. We talked a little bit about the book you just released, What's Your Kryptonite? Can you give us a little teaser about what that is? Because I'm very intrigued just by the title, because I haven't read it yet. I will. I'm going to read it, and then we'll have you back on to dissect it a little bit as well. But what's it about?
So I give people tips and tools to help them manage stress. Towards the end of the book, I talk about my MOLT method program. MOLT is essentially an acronym for mindset, order, lifestyle, and toxins, and where I encourage people to shed stress, just like creatures do in nature when they've outgrown their situation. And so, so when I was talking about the book and trying to figure out what I was going to name it, I was chatting with somebody and we were just having a discussion, and I said, you know, it's kind of like kryptonite. And we went on for a minute or two, and then he said, whoa, 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 go back. What did you say it was like? Kryptonite. And we flushed that out a little bit. And so it ended up being the title of the book, What's Your Kryptonite? Manage the Toxic Stressors Threatening Your Superwoman Status. Most of the people I work with are female. And so really, kryptonite is, in the superhuman world, kryptonite is that substance that drains their superpowers. And so kryptonite is never sitting out in the middle of the dining room table. They just feel their energy draining. And because they have experience with it, they know there must be kryptonite somewhere. And so they get to work figuring out where it is, because if they don't get rid of it, then they're not going to be able to save the world. And so we are really glad when they find it and they can save the world. And all is well, right? But in our human existence, similarly, our unique kryptonite is often somewhere in our world, in our environment, in some way, shape, or form. And we know we're feeling our energy being drained. We know things aren't right. You know, you described having chronic joint pain and inflammation. And so there is some kryptonite there that has to be identified. And then once we identify it and know what we're dealing with, then we come up with a plan to reduce it, eliminate it, manage it, whatever's required, depending on what it is.
Fascinating. I'm looking forward to it. So hopefully you'll be back on and we can talk more into that. And I'd love to hear more about MOLT and how we do that. I'm sure everybody else would too. Before I forget, I know I'm connected with you on LinkedIn, but how do other people reach out to you?
So if you go to my website, drgala.com, that's drgala.com, just from the homepage, if you scroll down, you'll see a link to Amazon to buy my book. If you scroll down towards the bottom, you'll see a little form. You can fill that out and I'll put you on my mailing list. I send a newsletter most Sundays. And then a little further than that, in the footer, you'll see all the little badges for the different social channels. So if LinkedIn's not your jam and you're on Facebook, use that. Instagram, you know, whatever is your social media du jour. I'm sure I'm there and you can find me in my latest post there.
Yeah, as always, please reach out if you can't find her. You should be able to, easy to find, but if you can't, I'll definitely connect you, especially if you're having some of these issues. But hopefully we can have you back on soon. I really appreciate you being on today. I think this is fascinating information. It needs to be shared more and more and more, and I can definitely see your passion in it as well. But thanks for listening, folks. Really appreciate you watching and tuning in. Dr. Gale, I hope we can have you back real soon. here.
Sounds great. Thanks again for having me, Eric.
Yeah. If you want more information, you can visit our website at centerforvictory.com. And just remember, wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, make this your best day yet. We'll see you soon.